This is a Jeff Galloway podcast.
Welcome to 3-2-1 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish.
Okay, Carissa, this may come as a surprise to you, but today we're talking all things Space Coast Marathon with our very own you, Carissa Galloway,
who ran said
marathon.
Yeah, I did it all. I have the 28-pound medal to prove it, which we will talk about. But good news, guys, you don't have to just listen to me. We are joined by Chris Twiggs, the chief training officer for Jeff Galloway. He did my training plan as part of the customized training that Jeff Galloway offers. And serendipitously, he was the 4:15 pacer during the race, so he spent a few hours with me. Thank you guys for your cheers and support on race day, virtually, and of the podcast. Got a great listener email to share from Maddie, and we got a Galloway pacer that's not Chris that gets a lot of love. Stay tuned to find out who that is, and let's do this.
All right. Well, I guess I just found out that I am the singular host of this episode of 3-2-1 Go, the podcast, people. And I will be asking questions of my sometime co-host, Carissa Galloway, and our good friend, Chris Twiggs. So, wow, this could go anywhere. I might want to talk about, you know, Chris and I are going to talk about literature at some point. And
I love it.
We won't get into James Joyce's Ulysses. We did it the last time. So let's...
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
I would love, not now, maybe now, a suggestion of a book to get Jeff Galloway for Christmas, because I got him a book, and then I was like, I think he's the one who told me about this book. So I'm getting all the old people, I mean my maturest relatives, books for Christmas, because that's what they do. They should read.
As someone who loves getting books for Christmas, good work out of you. Let me think about that. I have enough conversations with Jeff. I think I know what he might enjoy. You're suggesting something nonfiction, though, right?
So the book that I got him that I believe he told me to get is called Endurance. It's the story of the ship that tries to find. He's read that, right?
Tremendous.
I
mean, for everybody, I mean, make sure you leave this in because that is an amazing book.
Yeah. And then The Law of the Sea is one that my stepdad guy gave Jeff, which Jeff gave me. So that was a good book, too. So like things like that, John.
You so desperately want to play Christmas music in the background of this entire thing at this point, don't you? Because you're so excited that that's what we're discussing is Christmassy things.
I know, but we're discussing literature, John. Right. You see, this is the problem, John. You see the glass the wrong way.
Well, if I had a nickel. All right, let's think about a book to suggest for you and see if I can come up with that.
Now Jeff's going to get like 100 books at marathon weekend. Jeff, I heard you like books, which he does. He does actually. It's good to get him reading because it gets him off the computer because all he wants to do is answer emails. He loves to answer emails.
Reading is good for you. So we certainly approve here on 3-2-1 Go, the podcast. We also approve of getting on with our interview. So let's do this. First, starting with Carissa, how are you and where are you?
I went down the stairs today. This is Thursday, like just like a normal person would. So we've reached that point. I can sit down on the toilet without grabbing the wall. After the marathon, because you guys don't sit down, but it's that last 2 inches if you're really sore that are like, oh.
I mean, there are times when sitting down is beneficial.
Yes. We're not always standing, all right.
Not sure what the myth there is that we need to bust.
Well, I understand. Feeling much better today. And then, John, I was laughing when I listened to our last podcast with Allie on the Run, because whenever we ask someone how they are and where they are, they inevitably talk about the weather.
Yeah.
So the weather here, still pleasant in Orlando.
It is. It's lovely. Now, Chris, you're a little further up north in the Jacksonville area, I know. How are you? And let people know, maybe what neighborhood? Are you in Mandarin? Are you at the beach? Where are you?
No. I'm Jacksonville adjacent.
Okay.
So I am in beautiful, historic Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Beautiful.
Which is located on Amelia Island, which is as far northeast as one can go without leaving the state of Florida. And I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day where I am, and I'm enjoying myself quite a bit. I'm here coming to you from my home tiki bar. So
very impressive.
What could be What could be better?
Always makes me envious. We need to get a shot of that bar on the notes from the show. All right, Carissa, you made a big deal about the fact that you wanted to run a marathon. This was probably over a year ago that you did that. So here we are. You've done it. Let's start with this. How did you mentally feel going into the race? Because you were very honest about not having all of the best training days.
Yeah, I had a good success. You know, Chris was my coach, so I had a customized plan, which we've talked about before, but it meant that I could online, he put in all the runs that I was supposed to do. And he did a good job. When people really sign up for customized, I think they don't feel as guilty as I do, like messaging Chris, and they join the meetings. And so I was kind of like customized light. I just wanted the plan, and I text him in like urgent situations. But I didn't do all of the middle of the week runs. Let's just call it that. I bike twice a week usually, and the junk, they're not junk miles, but like I didn't always get in all of those runs. I got in all the long runs. The speed work fell off. But at the last bit, I got in some really good speed work, which I think messed with my head and made me feel like, wow, I'm the fastest person ever. I'm going to win. No. But going into the race, I felt really good. I felt that I'd never in a training for a marathon done the distance before. And I had done it twice. So what that did for me was, and if you're listening to this and you've never done this, I'm going to actually be an advocate of running the distance. It takes away the fear of failure a little bit. Because in my head, I was like, oh, I'm not scared of the race. My variable is pace. So I know no matter what happens, I know I can finish. And for me, that was like a really good feeling because you knew you had the endurance. So I think this is something that I will continue to do should I do another marathon, is do the distance and then maybe actually get in the 29 miler. So I felt very good. Mentally, I'd visualized myself having a time that I did not get that I am okay with. We'll talk about that. But I felt really good going into it. And the customized training was a big part of that, is making me go longer, having a resource to be like, what do I do now? How do I move that? Before I've just done a long run every 2 weeks and that was it. So this was a better alternative that left me heading into the race with less stress.
Okay. We're going to work our way up to Chris. So don't worry, Chris, hang tight. Maybe have an adult beverage from the bar back there and let me know what it is so that I can be envious. But with Carissa, we talked about in our Thanksgiving chat, we talked about your pre-race preparation in the days leading up to it. Let's talk about the day itself, driving over to the Space Coast, let everybody know what kind of a trip that is for you. And then as far as your food, your hydration, supplements, whatever it was to get you to the starting line before you heard go.
Yeah, and we did hear go. We'll talk about later what we heard at the finish.
Don't go, stop.
We chose to drive over in the morning. And I think that was a great decision because it lessens a lot of variables. You're not packing. I know I had my coffee. I know I had my breakfast. So I went to bed around, I think, 8:30 the night before and got up at around 3:30. And we were going to leave at 4 to just drive over there. We paid $20 to pick up our packet the day of. With this race, you do not need to get there very early. And these are all reasons why I chose this race, because those are things that can create anxiety when going to an event. And I wanted to eliminate those. I had done this race before. I kind of knew that drill. So got up, it was like 3:50 and I hadn't come downstairs yet. And Jeff came and knocked on my door and wasn't asleep. And he's like, she's awake, she's coming. But I was, you know me, John, I'm not, you said 4, I'm going to be there at 4. I'm not going to be there at 3:50.
One of the big downsides for you in marathons is that you're not really that big of a morning person, which I certainly appreciate. And certainly with that hanging over you, I'm sure that there's a little anxiety into that as well. All right, I want to jump to Chris for a minute. All right, Chris. You're over there at Space Coast. The morning of the race, what are the temperatures like? What's that race course like? What is Carissa looking for in front of her for her big day?
The temperature for this race was about perfect, which is, I have to say, which is unusual for Space Coast. Space Coast is notoriously hot. But this year it was cool. That was in our favor. I mean, it's, you're not all that comfortable when you're standing around beforehand, although it wasn't freezing. So that was really in our favor.
And we weren't standing that long. I think I walked into the crowd, what, like 8 minutes before? I just moved the bike gate and somebody was like, this is not run Disney. I just sauntered up to Chris.
Very different. The course is a double out and back, but in opposite directions. There's a north out and back and a south out and back. And this year, all of the half marathoners did only the south out and back. There have been some years when they offered the choice for half marathoners to do the north half or the south half. The marathon has always done both. So you do the north half, sometimes with some half marathoners, sometimes not. And then you do the south half. And in the south half, if you're fast enough, you find yourself passing some of those slower half marathoners who are walking the south course. So it can get crowded. I'm kind of surprised at the faster times that some people are able to put up because of that. The course is not too narrow, except in the places where you've got two-way traffic. So that it's, has that in its favor. The north half is a little bit hilly, but not terrible. South half has maybe one little bump in the road. If there's anything this year that I would say was a would be a barrier to someone running a time that he or she wanted to run, it would be the wind, which wasn't horrible, but unfortunately the last 6 miles was into a headwind. But good course support, especially if you like having those adult beverages offered to you in the second half of a marathon. There were lots of opportunities for those and lots of fun. No character stops to speak of, but there were a lot of people that were out wearing space suits and Star Wars or Star Trek inspired outfits and things like that. So people were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more in that of races. And I like to say Disney probably has a little bit to do with that, but you're seeing people who are getting in the spirit of dressing up and thinking, well, this is a special occasion, so let's have a little fun. We all love Halloween. All right, so Chris, tell everybody what your duties are for that day. Your pacing, what is your pace? And also take us through what a morning is like for you. And are you really communicating with your pace group before you take off? Anything like that?
Yeah. So Space Coast is a race where we, as Galloway, we share the responsibility for pacing. There's another group called MarathonPacing.com, which is owned by a guy named Jim Crist, who is a fantastic guy. In fact, he will be a Galloway pacer for Marathon Weekend. He's paced for us many times. And so he coordinates the faster half of the pacers, and I coordinate the slower half of the pacers. So I was leading a 4-hour, 15-minute marathon group, 4:15. And we had had a pacer meeting the night before. So unlike at Disney, where I meet first thing in the morning with the pacers and hand out the flags and things like that, I had handed out the pace flags the night before. So we did meet for a picture, but really that was all we had to do was, as pacers, get together for a picture. So I made my way out of the hotel at 3 a.m. I left the hotel to get over.
Before I was awake.
Before, yeah. I wanted to make sure that I was in my preferred parking space and that I had plenty of availability and opportunity for porta potties or Corral P, as some people call them. Sadly, having the availability and the opportunity doesn't necessarily mean things will progress the way that you want. So there's, you know, can't control all of those variables, but at least I did get out there in plenty of time for that. And then we probably got into the corral maybe 15, 20 minutes before the start. And I chatted with the folks that were there hanging out. And we have a lot of pacers at that race. So none of the pace groups is huge. Although I will say during the race in the second half, I did notice that some of the Galloway pacers toward the back, Ryan, who had a 6.5-hour group, he had a huge, huge caboose there when I saw his group coming through. So some of the the 5.5, 6.5 pace groups get pretty big. Ours was fairly small.
All right, Carissa, we're going to jump back to you. Now the race has started. You're on the course. Talk about how you felt in the beginning. What was that like? All the nerves have built up, all the anticipation. It's been a long time since you've done this. How are you feeling when you stepped off?
I don't think I had any nerves about anything going into the race. I felt extremely relaxed. And I think part of that was that I knew as a run-walk runner, your thought is always, am I running fast enough to make my pace? That's, I think, one of the most challenging things. Because I think the pace I was trying to run, I really, the thing about this is I don't even actually know, but it was around, let's say, 9:40, 9 something-ish pace. And so in your mind, you're like, do I need to run at 9:10? So that's usually when you're by yourself as a Galloway runner, you're doing that math a lot. Knowing Chris was there, I knew that I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to look at my watch because at 4:15, had I finished at 4:15, it would have been a PR for me. So I just knew I have to hang with Chris. That's all I need to do. So I didn't have any stress. And the night before, I talked to Weston, and my husband is, you guys know him, he's very dry. He's not an excitable guy. He's a wonderful guy, but he's not like an excitable outwardly.
He's
very laid back. So I was talking to him at night about, you know, the race and what to do. And his kind of talk was just like, if you PR that, okay, if you don't, it doesn't matter. Like nobody cares, which is 100% true. And I think that was, as the day goes on, like the best thing to remember, like, don't be miserable and kill yourself for 30 seconds that at the end of the day, doesn't matter. The experience is what matters. So I really went in it with, I think I can PR. If I stay with Chris, I PR. Let's just see what happened. And then the first 5K, everything kind of went off pretty, felt like it went fast. In the dark, miles go by faster. I don't know if any other runners agree with me on this, but I've heard something where your brain doesn't recognize spatial as well in the dark. So like you don't sense the space as well. And we were talking, Chris was chatting, the group was kind of coming together. So first 5K, I would say even first 10K, I felt pretty good. Checked out some Christmas decorations. Chris, remember that one house where the people had the fire and they were on the porch and they were like playing Christmas music? I just wanted to go hang out with them. So the
first
5K,
challenge when things got rough, I wasn't physical or mental, but I wanted to really go to the Christmas party more than I wanted to go to the 26.
They're on their porch with coffee. The other thing I want to shout out is that prior to the race, a lot of Run Disney runners knew I was running. You know, some of them reached out and said, I'm doing the race, I'm doing this. And one of them was a gentleman named Jason, who, John, you know Jason, but you might not know you know Jason. Jason is one of our well-costumed runners.
Okay.
He was Freddie Mercury in the past. Do you remember him as Freddie Mercury?
I
and I believe
do.
He's been Hulk. So Freddie, Jason ran as Freddie Mercury again because Space Coast Mercury, he was with us in our group. And the story that I want to tell that I didn't actually tell this to him then was that one of my favorite Run Disney moments was with him. Years ago, remember, John, I did the interviews? You and other people were on stage and I did the interviews.
Yes,
and
I
interviewed Jason and he was Freddie Mercury. And I was like, oh, can you sing for us, Freddie? And I gave him the mic. And he did. He went, no. And then the crowd did it back.
Yep.
And I go back and some manager was like, you gave us a scare when you had the faith to give that man the microphone. But I just was like, these dresses, Freddie Mercury, he's going to do me right. And it was one of my favorite moments because he was so fun and in character. And that's what we love about our Run Disney family. But he ran the whole race that I could handle with him. And he finished right alongside Chris. And he was a character stop because people would run by and they'd see him as Freddie Mercury and they'd have a bunch of comments. And the other funny thing before I answer whatever question you originally asked me was that Chris took a bathroom break and gave Jason, Freddie, the pacer stick. And he also had a microphone. So Chris comes back and he's like, do you want me to take that? And he was like, oh, no, I'm fine. So when the other pace groups would pass us and they'd like look, either if they were looking for Chris or they were looking to see who the pacer was, they'd just see Jason and they'd get kind of confused. And it's like they wouldn't even realize that like Chris was with us. It was kind of funny, you know, when we were paying attention because I know they were looking to see Chris and they just see Freddie with the flag. And so maybe they're wondering what happened to Chris. Chris is okay. He was always okay.
People did often as we would go by, good job, pacer. And for a while I was saying, thanks. And then I realized, they have no idea I'm the pacer.
Right? No,
they're
idea.
Not
Chris
talking to
there.
You.
I'm just a guy running next to the pacer. Clearly, Freddie Mercury is the pacer. Yeah, he was fantastic.
I think
rock and roll marathons are missing a whole thing. All their pacers should be classic rock stars.
What were you saying at the race? Oh, the celebrity pacers. That there's one race where all the pacers run times that celebrities have run marathons in.
Right.
So you can
be
in like the Oprah wave, the George W. group.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't have times. It's based, there's an Oprah pacer.
Because she did like 4:20 or something.
Yeah, and so it'll be running to beat Oprah, or there's the George W. Bush, or there's the Gordon Ramsay. All of the pace times are based on those. I think it's a fantastic idea for that, and a lot of
fun.
But
musical pacers would be fun too.
Absolutely, it would.
Oh, absolutely. No, I love all these ideas. I'd be running the Oprah versus the Gordon Ramsay, because he was actually a football in the European sense of that word. He was like
he's
a football
fast.
Star and blew up his knee. So I have a feeling he's probably got a pretty good time going there. All right. I want to jump back to the pacing thing with Carissa in a second. But Carissa, let's start here. I don't know if people know this about you or not, but you're a registered dietitian. What was your fueling like going into the race?
I think I had fueled fairly well leading up to it. I think I should have eaten a little more breakfast, but I fell victim to the just not wanting to consume food in the morning. So I had a banana and 3 Belvita crackers with a spoon of peanut butter and my coffee. And then on the race plan, I had goose, I had some sport beans, and then I made a rookie mistake, John, that we'll jump forward to. I say, and John, have I not said, don't trust other people to give you your fuel? They might mess up.
Yes, you have
said
that.
You might not find them. I've said it more than once,
yes,
right?
You have.
Well, I thought I could trust Olympian and America's running coach, Jeff Galloway. He almost spit his water out.
He's over there reading a book. He doesn't have time. He's over there reading the book you gave him.
I could trust Jeff Galloway to hand me my fuel. So I had my goos. Now, I did this knowing that goos were on the course. I was aware and that were plentiful. I get to Jeff at the halfway mark, and I open the bag, and he tries to hand me something, and I say, that's not mine. Then we go back to the bag. He tries to hand me the same one again. I say, that's not mine. And Chris is right there. And I think after and I was like, okay, you don't have it. It's okay. Bye. And I just had to go on. Barb took my fuel.
Well, you know, in the rankings of who is it important for Jeff to please, I believe Barb does actually slot in slightly above you.
So what happened was I put it in the bag with all the fuel. Barb took mine to the start, thinking it was hers. And so then when I got there, she had mine. She realized she had mine, didn't give it to me when we passed each other on the course, but if I took hers. And anyway, so I made a mistake and I did not have the specific fuel I wanted, but I was okay. I took goose. I had originally was going to do it every 40 minutes. I think I did that. And then I kind of went down to every 30 because when you take it on the run, you don't necessarily get the whole thing sometimes. So I was like, I'm taking about half. Let me just do that. And then I went to have some, I think a little bit of Powerade the last 20. And I was looking for pretzels. I had one orange slice, but I didn't see any pretzels the last 6, but I would have had some pretzels. So I think fueling wise was okay considering the weather. But don't give your fuel to anyone, no matter if they've been to the Olympics or not.
We need to talk to Mark Ferrer about doing a series of videos about how that could fall apart for you. And we could react that video out of you getting up in the morning, the wrong bag being taken, you know, just a series of videos letting the athletes know, you know, you have a support team, but sometimes you got to rely on yourself and make sure you've dotted all your I's. And
I mean,
all
Chris
sort of
was
thing.
There. Chris watched it go down.
Well, in fact, you had hit a porta potty just before the halfway point. And so you asked me when I get to Jeff, would I take that? And so I got there and I saw Jeff. And so I asked him and he opened the bag. He didn't know what it was, you know, which to give me. And fortunately, you were close by. And meanwhile, Freddie is standing there still holding the pace flag.
Yeah, we're standing still all this time, too, which in the end, none of this helped me, by the way.
We've only gone
halfway.
We still have another half marathon to run, and we need to finish on pace. So we had to just leave, yeah.
Part of that video will be him acting out as Freddie, renditions of songs. It'd be like, Mama, I need to run, but Carissa's got the wrong bag. Anyway, I don't know.
We did do some.
There stop were some, me now. And
yeah, we did
having
some good.
A good
we
time.
Did,
it, was, yeah. it was perfect. It was perfect.
It all writes itself. Okay.
Yes.
Now, we're going to talk about staying on pace and falling off pace. I know, Carissa, that you did fall off the pace a bit. So, give us your story about falling off the pace and how you
and then Chris will give his
and then I want Chris to talk to, because that has to be an incredibly common thing, never having run with a pacer. So common that I think probably a good amount of people fall off the pace. I want to get Chris's recommendations about how to deal with that mentally and physically. But first, Carissa, take us through your story and when it happened to you. It was relatively late in the race, really.
Past the halfway point, anyway. Oh, yeah. What happened around, 10, 11? I was really trying not to look at miles, just kind of run because I was with Chris. And I was thrilled. My heart rate was like in the 130s, which is great for me. But I had to use the restroom, and it was one of those ones where it was like, can I keep going? I'm not sure. Like, could I have not gone? It's just one of those things. Anyway, so I had asked Chris, what do I do as a pacer? How do I catch back up with you? Because that is my personality, John. I'm in a panic now. I've lost sight of like my goal. He told me what to do. I tried to do it. And then I just, like anybody else, I think I probably, it was like an 8:36 mile after the bathroom to catch back up. So I think I went too fast to catch back up and didn't do what Chris said, was to just cut your walk break by like 5 or so seconds and slowly catch back up. I tried to do that, and then I just visually felt like they were getting too far away and I'd get close, and then I felt like I wasn't passing anybody. So I caught them right at that halfway mark where we had the whole sort of fuel thing. So then that coupled with the dead stop. I think also it's the stopping for the bathroom and the stopping when your body is running and you stop. I think all of that added up to, once we kept going on to the half, I was a little flustered. And I remember saying to Chris, like, I'm not in a good mental spot right now. And I just kept trying to like work through it. And I did for a little bit, for a mile or two. And then I just felt like my quads were so tight and my turnover, it was taking so much more effort to keep the same pace. And I was watching my heart rate go up, and I was slowly just get like, you know, 5 steps behind them, and then we'd walk break and I'd kind of catch back up. And the next time we ran, I'd be like 10 steps behind them. And I just felt myself kind of like slipping away. And I'll let Chris chime in before I kind of talk through the decision process in my head at that point.
Yeah. So yeah. Chris, people find themselves at that place, I'm sure, a lot when you're pacing them. What's the advice you can give them?
Well, I mean, it was the advice that I gave to Carissa, that if she was going to catch back up, don't try to do it all at once. Don't try to cut out the walk breaks and sprint ahead to catch up. That might work. You might catch up with the group, but you're going to be so tired when you get there that you're not going to be able to hang on. So the better thing to do is just to shorten that walk break by 5 seconds or so and keep the group in sight. And if you're shortening that walk break by 5 seconds or so and you're still running the same pace as the group, you will eventually catch up with that group. And then there are other places where you can make up a little bit of time. Pace groups tend to lose time at water stops, for example, because there are a lot of people in them. And I was not at every water stop, but at a lot of the water stops, I would throw in an extra walk break for a few seconds there so that people could get their hydration. And that's something that's important to remember. Even I mentioned earlier, it was a colder day, not freezing, but it was a colder day than past Space Coast marathons. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to take in water. It doesn't mean you don't need to take in some hydration. So we were trying to, you know, include that into the plan as well. So that's the way to do it, is with those short opportunities. But sometimes, depending on the course, depending on your body, depending on a lot of things, how crowded it is, sometimes you're just not able to do that. And then eventually, maybe another pace group catches up. And if another pace group catches up, then you can latch on and use the energy of that pace group. That didn't happen to Carissa. She didn't fall back as far as the next pace group, which is fantastic, because they were only, I think they were only maybe 5 or 6 minutes behind me. So the fact that she finished relatively close to where the pace group did and did not fall back to that next group, I think is fantastic.
All right, Carissa. So pick up where we have you now. Yeah. You're finding this is getting more difficult and starting to question yourself. So take us from there.
Yeah, there is a point in every marathon where I think you get to this point, right? And so for me, what kind of shifted my mindset was what I alluded to the conversation with Weston, was I'm falling off and there's athletes, the half is finishing going the other way as us because it's the out and back. And so many people are saying, Carissa, you look amazing. And I notice that I don't even acknowledge them. I'm in this little bubble. As I'd said to Chris, like, I'm not in a good space right now. This is getting hard. It's too early to get this hard. I'm not even acknowledging these people. So as I just start to get back further and further, I said to myself, why are you doing this? Why are you going to suffer and hate this when you should be able to say, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, I should be giving energy back to the people. That's the race that I want to have. I want to have a race that's, this is supposed to be fun. I get to do this. So I kind of said, you know what? Like, let's not look at the watch anymore. Let's give the same effort you're giving right now. Don't change the walk breaks. Don't throw your hands up in the air. Because if you've ever done a marathon, there's a part where you just maybe have that zombie walk where you say, well, I'm not going to make my goal time. It doesn't matter. And I was like, don't give up. Just keep running and don't worry what the time says. If you get to the end and you found joy and you were joyful and you tried, like, then you're going to be happy. So that was kind of the shift that at that point I made. I think I had one more bathroom break. I was doing really well. From the time I left them to the time that I got to the turnaround in mile 20, I'd only lost 10 to 15 seconds per mile on what I was supposed to be. It was that damn headwind when we turned around and I looked down and now my heart rate's in the 170s. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, this got real serious. And then I was like, I was actually really grateful that I hadn't gone to the place where it's PR or bust. Because had I turned around and hit that headwind, Chris, I wasn't going to survive that headwind anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It was unfortunate. That's just
marathons. Yeah, it's just a marathon. It happens. It's happened to me before when I ran Gasparilla. It happens on any place that you're typically by water.
If you're coastal, that's the whole thing. We complain in Central Florida that we don't get the breeze that the coast gets in Florida. And that there's one time that's a good thing, and that's when you're out running because you're really not dealing with that. All right, Chris, let's take you through that last 10K, the last 6 miles of the race. What was that like for you? And I understand from what I've been told, the Run Dopey people figure into this.
Yes, that was my note. I'm moving it now. I don't think Chris, but he might have seen them, but I'm moving it to my section now.
All right. Okay. Well, you hold on to that and answer that part of the question. Last 6 miles, Chris.
Last 6 miles. There's something fantastic about the last 6 miles because you're seeing people that are behind you that are still coming south and you're getting energy from them. It is sad to see a few of the people that had started with our group that had fallen off. And honestly, by the end, it was just Freddie and me. It was just the two of us. Not for the entire last 10K, but certainly for the last 5K, just Freddie and me. And we had and I don't care that you say his name is Jason. He's Freddie to me. He's Freddie.
I think he'd be okay with that.
We talked a lot. But we had a good time. We did see, though, that we had a little bit of a buffer when we made that turn at around 20 miles. And we saw that we were eating into that buffer. And
the effort level didn't change, but the speed just dropped. It was like one of, you know what I mean? It's not like a heat. It's not like when you're in the heat and you start to slow down. It was just like well, darn it. I'm running into a brick wall.
Yeah. And you get to a mile mark and you think, well, I know I didn't lose time in this mile because I'm running just as hard as I did the mile before. I didn't lose energy. I'm still putting in the same amount of energy. And then you look at the watch and, oh, yeah, no, I lost another 10 seconds there. So so that certainly was happening. And so we ended up having to push in the last mile to try to make sure that we still finished on time. And but we got to visit with a lot of people that were coming the other direction. We got to cheer on a lot of those walkers that were doing the half marathon. There were so many people that were out there. We ran 4 hours, 15 minutes. I think the half marathon started 15 minutes after us. So we were passing people who were going to be finishing that half marathon over 4 hours, but they were still moving. They were still out there. And it was so neat to see that. We did see one person getting picked up by rescue out on the course, but the person was I don't remember who exactly it was, but whoever it was on their own feet, so it wasn't like they were on a stretcher, so at least there was that, but somebody had to get picked up by rescue, and we made our way closer to the finish line. It was fantastic. As you get right there at the finish, you have to navigate around the Cocoa Village area, so there are a lot more folks around. And it was just a lot of fun. The highlight for me, though, you always hope that the people that are in the pace groups are going to stay with you or want to finish with their group. Because so often, as you know, from being at the finish line, our pacers come across and it's just the pacers. There's nobody with them. And you wonder, well, why do we bother having pacers if nobody's running with them? Well, no, there are tons of people that run with the pacers. But then in the last mile, we encourage them to run ahead. And we had the exact opposite happen. I had the exact opposite happen with Freddie because he asked if he could finish holding the pace flag. And he had carried, remember, he's also carrying that long microphone, you know, mic stand with microphone. He had that in one arm. He had the flag in the other. He's wearing a yellow leather jacket the entire way. He carried that flag for 22 miles. What kind of a jerk would I be to say, no, that's my flag. Give it back. So he carried the flag into the finish, which was absolutely fantastic. Freddie, if you're listening, you've got a job as a Galloway pacer whenever you want it. Although he told me I have to dress like this. Like, that's fine. We can work with that. We'll do a music theme pace team. One of these races, we can definitely work with that.
Well, I think he's Spirit Halloween costume guy that went to the Spirit store the day after Halloween and had all this fun costumes for Wine and Dine. I do think that's Jason too. So I think he's got a closet. So don't, he's Freddy to you, but he's got a range there.
Okay. Well, yeah. Get in touch because he was rock solid, very encouraging. It was fantastic. So, but pacers and pace groups are not immune to that headwind. It still takes a toll. And it's something that this is one of the reasons why pacers, by the way, are always assigned to times that are significantly slower than what they could run on that day. You do not want someone who would be struggling to stay at that pace. And sometimes that still happens with pacers, but hopefully not.
All right. Okay. Brings up a question. I was actually going to jump over this, Chris, but you sort of led me into this. How challenging is it to pace a race, even when it's a doable pace for you? And you know, you could be running quicker or you could be slowing down and just enjoying the scenery. Shout out to Freddie for probably making your run as enjoyable as it could be. But how challenging is that for you?
Well, it's challenging. I mean, the math really is the thing and trying to make adjustments. This race in particular is challenging because we don't have any team. We don't have any pairs. Everyone is running as a solo pacer, which is why I had to hand the flag off to Freddie when I went into the porta potty. At Disney, most of the races, all of the half marathons, with one particular pacer exception, but almost exclusively, we have two people per time as a pacer. And that's so that if one has to go into the porta potty, they can, or if somebody's having a bad day, you've got the other pacer that's there that can finish with the flag. And so that gives us a lot more of a comfort zone from that. But yeah, it's a little bit challenging. And there are some people that are amazing runners that would make horrible pacers.
Sure.
Because it's not about how fast you can run. We've got pacers all the way to 3.5 hours and a half there, you know, Disney, and all the way to 7 hours in the marathon. So it's not about how fast you can run. It's about your personality. And do you have the right personality to keep people motivated and to keep people entertained and all of those things? And then the hard part was like when Carissa couldn't find her food and I'm like, well, I can't, I'm pacing. I can't stay here that long. And if I were just a friend running, I'd stay here and figure this out. And I've had times when family members are running in my pace group and maybe having a bad day and they fall off and I would love to stay with them, but I can't. I've got a job to do. So that's a hard part personality wise as well. And I've had pacers that couldn't handle that. They've felt like, well, if a family member or a good friend is struggling, I would need to stay with that person. Well, then sign up and run with that person.
Exactly. It is really a remarkable skill. And I have been amazed by it since, you know, the very pre-run Disney when they were pacers. All right, Carissa, last 10K for you, that last 6 miles. Take us all the way up to the finish line, and then we'll get into specifics of the finish line because I'm really, really, I'm curious as to what I'm going to hear about this. But your last 10K.
Last 10K, it was tough. I made the turn, and I was, you know, I don't know, maybe a minute behind the 4:15 group, which I still had 2 minutes left than I would have PR'd. So I did that discussion in my head. Do I amp this up? Do I try to PR? And I just said, nope, we're not going to spend the next hour stressed. We're going to spend the next hour like happy, cheering people on, like remembering people, connecting with people, seeing them still running hard, you know, still running, you know, 10, like low tens in there. But I just tried to enjoy as much as you can enjoy running into a headwind after you've already been running for 3.5 hours and you're extremely tired. all of those things. But I was, as Jeff always likes to say, I was the passer in the last half. I was passing people who had clearly gone out, you know, way too hard. And then I had the opportunity to cheer for the people going the other way. There was a gentleman, you probably remember him, Chris. It was Ryan. It said this is Ryan's first half marathon out there. And he was walking. And then there was another.
I saw Ryan finish.
Him?
I was so
good.
So proud of him. Yes, that was he struggled, but he kept going and he got it done. Yes.
And that's the things we remember, right? And that's why I wanted to be in a headspace where I felt joyful that I could do this. And I did well, but I got a surprise around, I don't know, mile before we got to the out of like the wooded area, not wooded, but where there were more trees, Weston and Elliot had showed up there, and I did not expect them to be anywhere at the middle of the race because I didn't know the logistics. So I saw Elliot and he just had a big stick. You know, John, he loves his stick. So he's waving his giant stick and it just was the sweetest thing.
That's
and
great.
I gave him a high five and they'd made a little Hamilton sign for me because that was my sort of mantra and my vibe for the race. So I saw them. I did see the Run Dopey crew, as you mentioned. They were out there dressed fantastically, saw them about to take a shot. I did not partake in the shots. It was only 1 mile left, but I just still did not partake in the shots. And then as we got to the end and going around Coco Village, Run Danny was there just screaming belligerently at me, which was amazing. And then Chris, I didn't know how the course went. So I come around the park and then I turn right to then where you're going to turn left to the finish. And I literally was like, I was by myself. I was like, I actually don't know. Where do I go? Like, I literally had a moment where I was like, I'm not 100% sure like where I go. But that's when I saw Elliot and Weston at the finish line. And I toyed with the idea of like having Elliot come run with me. But I was like, you're not really supposed to do that. So I just gave him like an awkward high five, but I really did want to finish with him. And then when I got to the finish, I was like, celebrate. Don't be down because you didn't PR. That doesn't matter. You ran a marathon. You did the training. You enjoyed it. You didn't go to a black hole of negative thoughts. And so that's what I did.
Yeah, let's just remember back when you told me that you wanted to do this. You didn't say, I want to run a PR. You said, I want to run a marathon.
Correct.
It's been a long time. And you ran a marathon.
Weston kept reminding me how much older I am than when I ran my PR. So maybe I should look into that whole age-graded system.
That's it. That's
Gosh. If you have not done that, yes, get on that the age grade table. Plug your time in. That is a way to frame your accomplishment.
That's right.
You are going to be so pleased. Seriously. It's a great way to look and see. And that way you're not competing against people who are 20 years younger than you are.
Yeah.
It's a great way. Yes. Yes. Get on those age grade tables and check it out because you'll be surprised how fast you really ran when you adjust that for age.
And frankly, I'm 60, but I really should be in about the 73 to 77 year old.
You're an old soul, as they say.
You know, I've treated my body like a rodeo, and you know what? I've enjoyed all of that. All right, the finish line. You kind of dropped a little something that said that the finish line was unique. Let's talk about the finish line. What was it like for you?
So in my firm belief, I was having a great time. My hands were up. I was ready for my photo. They didn't say my name.
Well,
I wasn't upset. I was just, though, I was clearly by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy to say name. But Chris, did they say your name?
No.
Was there anybody announcing at the finish?
I don't remember.
John. There was literally no announcer at the finish.
And
I would not have known this.
I have the day off.
I know. Well, Stephanie Humphrey, our friend, sent video to the finish. And I just would have thought that I didn't hear him say my name or like, you know, there's finish line amnesia. We say the best jokes and y'all don't even know.
Right, right.
Or we give you this amazing shout out and you just don't even listen. And
it's
fine.
It's wasted on them.
It's wasted on them. Well, it wasn't wasted on me. Somebody was like, no, ma'am. We're just literally not going to have an announcer here. The award ceremony was about to happen. So I believe the announcer was at the awards ceremony, but no one ever came back when Barb finished. So,
All right.
What does that say? What is the universe trying to tell me, John?
Those award ceremony that went on for a very long time. So
Barb
would
finished
still,
an hour, 30 minutes, 40 minutes after me.
It may still. It still.
It was not still going.
There was something.
That sounds funny, but come on, let's just be honest here. Of all the races, award ceremonies are sometimes the sore thumb that sticks out because they never happen on the time that people say generally, or they take up too much time.
And I have a...
Yes, Carissa, you're raising your hand. I appreciate that.
I am. And again, this is... if there was an announcer, I don't want to be dogging on them too much.
No, not their fault if they have to be there and there's nobody to back them.
Not their fault. No, but I do have a question for you. When you announce... do you go 1-2-3 or 3-2-1?
Me?
Yeah. When you announce a race awards.
Oh, 3-2-1 always.
They went 1-2-3.
No.
It's anticlimactic. It's weird. Christy, what would you do if you're?
No, you're right. They did 1-2-3. You're right.
And
no,
that's you want it to be in third place. And your champion, not your champion.
Right.
Now you have to read the paper. The paper's listed in numerical order. I understand that. You just have to go 3-2-1.
Yeah, so, and I also try to. I don't give the times generally for third and second place, but the first you place, give, you know, with a time of, you kind of want to do that. It builds
the first
dramatic tension.
Know, so that was, if I have a critique.
Okay.
But it's kind of funny that I wasn't announced, actually. Like, that makes me laugh. But I like the joy and the excitement that building it up comes.
No,
and
see, I'd have been there, I'd have handed you the microphone and let you announce yourself crossing the finish line. But yeah, that would be only entertaining to you and I. All right. The medal. Talk about a lot of people in this for the bling. By the way, Carissa always asks me, you don't even have your medals. Mine's actually hanging up right next to me.
Aww.
Now, my 10K medal. How is the medal? It's some people's holy grail.
Chris, I'll let you start.
The thing is, my God, the thing is huge. Have you seen this, John? Have you seen
size
of this?
You have it, or do I need to go upstairs and get it?
No, I have it right over here. Now,
so John, I don't love medals, right? I don't do races for medals. I want you to, since you haven't seen it, give us your reaction. Here it comes.
Good God.
Yeah. And it's, this is not forced perspective.
That's his face.
It's the size of a dinner tray. If you were getting your dinner on a tray, that's the size of it.
It is.
What is it, John? Can you tell what it's supposed to be?
No. A rover. It's a solar rover.
Yep. What it everybody is. Wants on their marathon medal.
Well, Mars is the theme of the race. No,
it's a path. Isn't it the Pathfinder, I believe? Look, I love space. Big fan of the space program. It's very large, and that's all I have to say about that.
It actually does say Mars Pathfinder on the lanyard.
Right. But I can't hang it up with my other medals. It's too big. It throws the whole thing off.
They have a history of going big. In fact, I don't remember which year it was, but there was one year the medal was so big it had a stand built into it. And I'm serious. It had a stand built into it. And it was so heavy that they did not give it out. They gave it to you when you checked in. Before the race, they gave you your number and your medal.
I'm just going home now.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Well, but we got more, though, because we got something that I really, really like. And
I do like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell John what that is.
I got a towel.
Oh, cool.
It says finisher. That's useful.
Yeah.
Not
I
a little
that.
Towel. Not a hand towel either.
A beach towel. Well, I like a hand towel as well, but a beach towel as well. So
beach towel's great. Yeah.
So that's, yeah. So right. But I don't do things for metal. So I really, it's just laughable because I'm just going to cut the metal off and hang the ribbon with my metal. So the ribbon's there, but not the.
Well, now that I know that big metals are maybe their thing, because I was thinking, oh my God, was there all these rover things that were made up for something else? And it's we'll paint them to be a metal and give them to you at 50% off. Huh? You know, that's what I was thinking. But apparently this is one of their things. And they probably are we're the Space Ghost. We went to the moon. We'll make any size metal we want, people. Stop your whining. The Saturn V was enormous. We go big or we go home. That's.
I would have just been rather given Mylar. Space, Mylar, all that kind of stuff. But
there had to have been Mylar involved.
There was not Mylar given out in the end. No, there were a lot of people wearing Mylar in the beginning, though. Chris had Mylar on in the beginning.
I did have Mylar in the beginning.
We had to have a discussion, John, because he would have impacted my time. Me,
that's true.
Had he crossed with the Mylar.
Yeah,
Mylar screams space program.
I almost didn't get to run this race as a pacer because if I had tried to take that Mylar across the starting line, she would have taken me out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Freddie would have come in with the microphone because he knows he's a veteran Run Disney runner.
The video would have gone viral and there'd be
sad news of Coco.
This would be the most downloaded version of this podcast. I know that for sure. Hey, Carissa, you want to shout out, though? A lot of Run Disney runners out there, part of the race. And Barb Galloway, food issues notwithstanding, needs to be recognized as well.
Yeah, her first marathon in her 70s. Nice. She hasn't done one in quite a few years, so kudos to her. But yes, thank you to all the Run Disney folks and the people who aren't Run Disney folks that gave me cheers. It was really inspiring to see everybody out there. And overall, it was as great of an experience, weather and getting to run with Chris and having family out there. It was a wonderful experience. I've already forgotten how terrible the last 6 miles were, and I'm trying to figure out how to get into New York City. So that's it. There we are. But thank you, Chris, for your help. It was really nice to be able to run with you.
And by the way, if you get into New York City, I'll come up and cheer. But to get me to go to New York City, it's not a difficult argument, argument at all. All right, Chris, before we let you go, thanks for hanging out with us and talking about Carissa's first marathon back after a long time. We're I guess about a month out, really, from Walt Disney World Marathon at this point. And can you talk about the Galloway Pacers there? Give us a rundown of what groups people can expect. What are the ratios, if you know any of that at this point?
Yeah. I'm actually really excited about the pace team that we have for Marathon Weekend. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've had a really good community of pace team coordinators that has met up in London and in Chicago, and we've had some online meetings, and we have a lot of, I mentioned Jim Crist with marathonpacing.com, and there are some other folks that coordinate pacers for other races, and then some races that like London, for example, that do all of their coordinating themselves. And so I've reached out to the folks that coordinate these groups and seen who would like to come and be a part of our pace team. So Jim Crist with marathonpacing.com is going to be pacing a half marathon group for us. Akram, who is the pace coordinator for the London Marathon, will come. He has paced for us before. In fact, I believe he knighted Weston at the finish line of the Disney Marathon a year or two ago. So he'll be there. So we have, we really have some superstars that are going to be coming out and pacing. And then a lot of the folks that people are used to seeing, Mark Bridgette, for example, it's anytime I have to do a race without him there, I'm sad because he's so rock solid.
You got to go fast.
Yeah.
You got to take the fastest group.
There's that too. So we have a fantastic group right now. We haven't finalized everything because I've also, we're expecting to get some folks, as we know, Sydney Marathon is a new marathon world major. And so I've been in contact with Simon, who coordinates the pacers there. He can't come himself, but he's going to be sending one of his Galloway pacers. I consulted with him last year to make sure that they could use run walk for some of their pace groups. And so he's going to be sending one of their folks over. So right now, what it looks like is that we are going to have in the marathon pacers starting at 3.5 hours. And so 3.5, that's 8 minute miles. So it looks like we're going to start at 3.5 miles. That is, of course, will be Mark Bridgette. And we'll pace all the way down to 7 hours, of course. And right now it looks like Ryan Sharp, it will be one of the 7 hour pacers. He was the guy who was pacing 6.5 there at Space Coast. He is a fantastic pacer.
Really good pacer. Oh, yeah. He's great. I mean, there are a lot of them. Well, yeah. There's some that have more experience and just have kind of, it's natural for them. And then it's different. And then they learn, but he's one of the favorites.
He is fantastic. He's the one who ran up at Chicago in October, just on his own. He was running. He wasn't a pacer. And their pacers at Chicago right now stop at 5.5 hours, even though you can go to 6.5. And some other people in Customized said that they were going to run and wanted to run 6 hours. And he said, sure, I'll pace you for that. And he sent me a picture afterwards. I think he had 50 people in his improv pace group, just kind of ad hoc.
Can I tell you something that we are not to mailbag yet, but literally that is what's talked about in our mailbag for today is Ryan sharp pacing at Chicago.
There you go.
Which, and you don't, and you did not know that.
I just want to point out,
we're going to say that in about.
I'm super proud of him. And I've already talked to Paul, who's the pace coordinator for Chicago, and said, can we get this guy on as an official pacer? Because come on.
And as we're going to say in a few minutes, it mattered. So
yeah,
it mattered that he was
there. It
helps
people tremendously. So yeah, so we've got some fantastic folks that are going to be there. I'm super excited for seeing everybody. I'm also super excited because my wife is going to be running Dopey for the first time and against her will. So
you shamed her into it, didn't you?
I signed her up for it and then she signed herself up for the marathon. And then I said, well, obviously, you know, I don't think they would give us a refund for Dopey. So, but you know, they'll give us a refund for the marathon since you're double booked. But so now would they have given us a refund for Dopey? Probably. But anyway, she signed up for Dopey and she's been doing the training. She has been really, really conscientious. In fact, we're going to be in St. Martin next week and she has a long training run scheduled while she's there and she's looking forward to it.
Nice.
So so I'm looking forward to being out there and having a team of all-stars pacing. Mostly our regular pacers that we know and love, but then some folks coming from other places that are going to do fantastic as well.
Well, thank you, Chris. And to everybody listening, make sure at Disney Marathon Weekend or any of the Disney race weekends, go to the Galloway booth because you're going to be able to know what pace and what ratios your pacers are running. And I'll say, even if it's not what you've usually done, it's going to be pretty close. Just trust them. Trust the pacers. I ran 2:30:30 in my long runs, but I did 2:30 with Chris. It was absolutely a seamless transition. It takes away a lot of the guesswork for you. So go visit with them. There's going to be sometimes where, Chris, there's the same pace in multiple corrals, if you will. Mm-hmm. So there may be more than one, you know, 5-hour pace group or whatnot. And then if you're listening to this thinking, gosh, I want to have a great marathon experience, I want to have a great training experience, you've heard how knowledgeable Chris is. The Galloway customized training with Chris is a really affordable, great way to get the right training for you. He'll help you when those hiccups come around. And they have it's a weekly chat where you've heard Stephanie say on the podcast, it's a really great community. So if you want to kind of, I'm going to say, do this right, check out the customized training because it will really support you and make you feel more confident in everything you do. So thank you, Chris. Thank you for everything. And we will see you very soon.
See you, Chris.
Thank you. You want books? You want books? You want to hear books?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for Jeff. I'm like, do I want you to give like to, Jeff?
No,
I thought you meant like Jeff Galloway books.
No.
I was like, no, I have them.
No,
we're ready for the book. Jeff's book recommendations.
Got plenty of Galloway books. Crying out loud.
Closet. That's why Weston's in the, if you hear banging, it's because Weston's adding a shelf in our closet because we have so many Jeff Galloway books in our closet.
I just put up a new shelf up there.
That's what he's doing.
The top shelf up. That was yesterday. I put that up. Not for books though. It's for tiki mugs and rum. Yeah.
Also, right. No. You don't have to say it like it's a pejorative, Chris. That's great. Tiki rugs and rum. We love that as well.
Oh, and I'll give you a rum recommendation too. Because if you watched Bad Monkey,
not for Jeff.
No,
I have not watched Bad Monkey yet, but it's in the queue.
Oh, I mean, Carl Hyson is a genius,
absolutely.
Right? Hilarious. Bad Monkey is a great adaptation of a hilarious book. And in the first episode, Vince Vaughn is drinking that right there. So the Barbancourt 8-year
from Haiti.
You can pick that up just about anywhere they sell alcohol, and it's
all right. I got my Christmas list out. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
All right, so the book that I would recommend for not as far as nonfiction is concerned, this is it's called Alexei Navalny Patriot, and it's nonfiction, and it's about the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who
brave guy.
Incredible guy. Story. And so that's on our bookshelf right now for sure. And then if you want something fiction, I'll stay with Russia for a second. If you want something fiction, a lot of people, I'm not going to say why, just for some reason a lot of people have been talking about 1984 recently. Orwell, but if you want to, read something in that line, We, by Yevgeny Zamyatin, or you might find it, his name as Eugene Zamyatin. Mm-hmm. We was the book that inspired George Orwell's 1984.
Ooh.
So
very nice. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, it's a good old read. I mean, if you can read it in Russian, that's great. I read it in English. But
Jeff's very talented. So.
No, I've read a lot of Russian novels and none of them in Russian. I'm just going to give you one nonfiction because my fiction reading, now I've been jumping back to reading the classics after Ulysses tied me in knots once again. I was like, I need something entertaining to read. So I read, and I'd never read it, The Count of Monte Cristo, and I love Dumas, and it is just such a fun read. So that's recommended, Chris, though I think Jeff's probably already read that. But I would recommend The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell. I know Jeff is interested in World War II, and it covers the Norden bomb site and the importance that held in during the Second World War, but also on the decisions on how strategic bombing and stuff. It's a short read. It's not a long one, but man, it is a page turner, and it's kind of a story on World War II coming at it from a different angle. And Gladwell is always so readable.
You can't go wrong with Gladwell.
Whatever he's talking about, he makes it interesting. And I think
he's a runner.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Wow. He has zero body fat. So I kind of figured
out. But he's got hair to make up for it.
Exactly. Exactly. So
Thank you, guys. All right. Yep. Appreciate it.
Cool.
No problem, Chris, man. Good to see you, brother.
Yeah.
Good to see you as well. I saw some Pelkey Run Club shirts out there.
I got some pictures from folks. Yep. Nice to see. As long as they're not in front of, Disney stuff, I guess. Disney won't cancel me.
There was one. Was it Ryan that had one that had a Pelkey quote on it? Have you seen that?
I think it was what happened was there's some new merch and it hasn't come in yet. So he made his own shirt with my quote, and I kind of stole this from Riley Claremont and then changed it. Is that I sweat cheese whiz, scotch, and regret, and so he made a T-shirt, a Pelkey Run Club T-shirt. With that quote on it, which I could not have been prouder. Honestly, one of the proudest moments. I'm prouder, Carissa, that shirt made than I am. I would have been had I finished a marathon. That shirt does everything.
That's pretty good. I need to get one.
If Warren Zevon were a race announcer tied to Run Disney, that would have been his type of quote.
Oh God! And that's high praise. I couldn't be happier.
I did my last Hard Rock wearing a Send Lawyers Guns and Money hat.
It's on my running. It's on my running playlist and my training playlist. That song, because it's just energizing. And Carissa's like, "I'm sorry, Warren?"
Anyway, okay, boomer, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, Chris. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
See you tomorrow.
Bye. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye. Bye.
Athletes, listen up. It's mail call time. Announcer three, present.
All right, Carissa. Today. We have a great email from Cancer Warrior Maddie. She says, 3, 2, 1, yippee, I did it. Your company during recovery and training kept me moving. Carissa, your suggestion of incorporating Pillar Triple Magnesium into my daily routine knocked down my twitchy legs. Big fan of that.
The pillar. Still taking it here.
Still taking it. It's so great. Take it before bedtime every night. Sleeping really well. I ran the Chicago Marathon with the unofficial pace group led by Ryan Sharp. Our friend and a Galloway pacer.
I feel like now we're going to have to get Ryan on the podcast.
We are going to have to get Ryan. So
double mentioned.
Maddie continues. I was terrified that I'd get swept, but thankfully the 6-hour pace group got me across the finish line in 6 hours and 7 seconds. Very nicely done. All right. The support enthusiasm. No, it's 6 hours and 7 minutes. Did I say seconds?
I think it's 6 hours and 7 minutes, but maybe, I don't know.
All right.
Guess what? She made it. She did it. Didn't get swept.
Well done. The support and enthusiasm during the entire race was spectacular. Having my name on my singlet was so worth it. We always tell you, big font, name on singlet's going to be helpful.
That's what I had.
People,
I had it, John, for the announcer that wasn't there.
Yeah. the cheers and spectators hollering my name kept me pumped. Running in a world major was a wonderful experience. I encourage all runners to experience one. I got it through a charity bib, which made it one step more special. Next up is the Vegas Marathon in November 3rd, which was a few days ago, a while back, or November 3rd of next year, I'm assuming she's talking about. And who knows when the email came in. This is falling apart at this point.
It's the first running
of this marathon, which is a downhill course. Just the whole way downhill.
Yeah, those are hard though.
That would be so hard on my calves. I've said running downhill is more difficult on my calves than running uphill. This race will be with three of my running buddies. Thank you both for a fun podcast and support you throw out during Run Disney starts. Mastectomy to marathon is complete. Well, Maddie, congratulations, first of all, on being cancer-free. What a great story. And yeah, we're going to have to get Ryan Sharp on here because, again, and we'll just reiterate it. Not only are they buttoning these times, which is quite amazing for me, and dealing with, you know, water stops and bathroom stops and other things that are going to slow you down. But the Galloway Pacers and Ryan specifically, really great at keeping you motivated, keeping your mind in the
John, we have to end this podcast. You've lost the ability to speak.
I really have. Your mind in the right place. So shout out to those folks. Moving on.
No, and you know, just think about to just, again, further shout out Chris and all the Pacers. They still have to train to do a race where they're not going to PR.
Right.
They're not going to have their best. They could be feeling amazing and you don't get to run away and have your best day. You stay and you support others. So it really is a very selfless thing that these Pacers do that is still challenging and very demanding of their time. So we thank the Pacers. I also want to thank all of you guys who are sharing your year-end Spotify recaps that we've made your top five. So thank you for sharing those. Thank you for listening. If you have a story, a question, or an idea, send it to us at 321gopodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Before we wrap up, we want to give a special shout out to our friend Sarah Akers with Runs on Magic. Now, Sarah is a passionate Run Disney enthusiast. She loves nothing more than helping you plan those magical Run Disney weekends. But with her expertise, the possibilities are endless. Whether you're dreaming of a honeymoon escape, an all-inclusive girls trip, a boys trip to Las Vegas, a family cruise, international adventure, whatever it is, Sarah is here to make it happen. Best part? Her travel planning services are completely complimentary. Sarah creates personalized itineraries and specializes in Run Disney, Universal, and cruise vacations. And for our listeners, she's offering a special promo. Use the code 321GO when requesting your vacation quote, and you could receive up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit, depending on your destination. You can connect with Sarah on Instagram at RunsOnMagic for the latest offers and more, or reach out to her directly at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Weston, our editor. We'll see you real soon.
Bye-bye.